Our scripture reading for the lesson today comes from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 14. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Chapter 4 begins, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." And may the Lord bless his words to our hearts, that we may receive his words, that we may believe his words, and that we might obey his words. Have you ever had troubles with your computer? And then you have to start it up in that safe mode way. This is natural protection against the whole system falling apart. After all, if you couldn't start it, you couldn't fix the problem. Maybe there is, I don't know. That's all I know, that you've got the safe mode. And it's for good reason. Now you say, what does this have to do with the text? What kind of a preacher is this talking about computer problems? Been dealing with that up to yesterday, and now I've got to hear about it today. Well, no, there's a point here. The church often feels, I believe, weak and intimidated. It seems that it cannot survive, and it's almost in the same mode. It's a safe or a survival mode. And it starts to work with this at the back of its thought. So it affects everything the church does. The only difference is that the church is not a computer, and which depends upon human technicians to fix and solve their troubles. The church is to be a living, vibrant, active, reproducing church, and has no business starting up in safe mode. Our goal in studying this passage today is to see what you are able to do to prevent this problem, to see how you are made able to prevent this problem, and finally you will see an encouragement of what God wants you to do, an encouragement. Now let's go back to the Word. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4 and concentrating on verses 13 and 14. Very famous, that you learned probably as a child. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What are you able to do? Paul tells his friends in Philippi, I can do all things. I have no doubt that as Paul wrote this, his mind went back into Philippi, where he spent, as you would know, time in prison there. The famous verse, what can I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household, came from Philippi when Paul was there, when he was beaten, falsely imprisoned. You know the story, the great earthquake. But Paul was also thinking about his present circumstances. Here he was in prison. He was writing this to the people where he had spent time in prison, and he's looking around him. This forms the context, and it's very important to understand the people to whom he's writing and what were the present circumstances around him. Now, those of you who are good in grammar, you would know that can often means, or most often means, ability. So this is not permission to do whatever you want to do. He's not saying, I may do whatever I want. He's saying, I am able to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul makes it clear that he has in him the ability to do. No safe mode here. No self-preservation. He knows what God's given him to do, and he says, I am able to do it. To do what? All things. Well, all things in the Bible does not mean all things. All things means all kinds of things. Means many different things. For example, the Bible says the love of money is the what? The root of all evil. But it really means, you have to understand the context, it means all kinds of evil. Because money is not the root of many sins. It means all kinds of sins. And so here, when the Bible says, I can do, I'm able to do, all things, it means all kinds of things. So the church cannot say, oh, that's too hard. We don't want to do that. We're not able to do that. Let's build a nice high wall around us so we're isolated from the world. Then we realize that's a dangerous position for the church to take. What did Paul do? Let's recap what some of the things that Paul did. And in fact, in Philippians chapter 4, the first part, he talks about this. Paul was one who cared for the churches. Even the details of those churches. He prepared men to lead in the churches. He preached the gospel in the churches. He preached the gospel on the roadside, in the marketplace, in the open spaces. He did not say, well, I'm able to do it, but I don't want it. It's too dangerous up there. I'd better stick to safe mode and hide away. Paul endured persecution, imprisonment, earthquake, and he looked at death in the eye. Back in Philippi, Paul challenged a jailer on a suicidal path to faith and repentance, and affected a whole church there. Paul saw that jailer converted. He learned to work along with others. Now look at chapter 4. In verse 3, he says, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me. He wasn't a one-man show. That's why your pastor will be after you to be involved in evangelism and discipleship, that you don't hide away and say, that's his job. It's never a one-man show. He labored and worked with these women. He learned to rejoice even on the persecution. Look at verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. This is a man who was writing to people who had put him in prison and had beaten him. Left him to die. He's now in prison again in Rome. And he says, rejoice. Rejoice. You know, if you just look at the circumstances around, it's very difficult to rejoice in the Lord. We look at the murder of children. We look at the perversion of marriage. We look at the promotion of welfare state. We look at all the problems that are around us. We look at churches where there's no gospel. Now that can overwhelm you and depress you. And that makes you do nothing. But he's saying, I am in Christ, I must rejoice. I must do like he did in verse 3. Now he rejoices in the presence and in God. Verse 5, he learned to be gentle and he encouraged gentleness. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Not meanness, but gentleness, the care. Verse 6, he learned not to worry, but rather to pray to God for help. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Sometimes you can forget. We look at the troubles around us and we think, oh, this country is done for, and you don't pray. You know, God is able to change our Supreme Court people, the judges there. He can change their hearts, or he can remove them. I was just listening yesterday in the news, and they're discussing about what percentage of the prisoners would be voting for the Liberals and the NDP. The prisoners. These are murderers, people who have butchered the lives of people. And our Supreme Court says, of course they have the right to vote. Well, God can change that. We don't have to give up. You know, you might be praying for somebody for 15, 20 years. There's some people I've been praying for the conversion for at least 15 years. They're not even close yet. But do we say, they're never going to turn? Paul says, in prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. That's God's providential care. You don't have to worry. If you die, it's for your good. If you die, it's for your family's good. That's God's providential care. We do not have to worry. Paul learned that. I'm able to do that, he says. I have learned, God has given me the ability to stop worrying. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, and so on. What does he say? Think of these things. Meditate on these things. You know what meditate means? It's to chew on something. It comes from this Hebrew word of the cow chewing on the cud. Now they swallow the food, bring it back up and start chewing it. Then keep it there and keep working on it. That's really what we have to do with God's Word. These are the things we need to keep on doing. And why is Paul saying this? Because of the conditions under which these people live. Persecution was going to come even more severe on the Philippians, the Christians there. And he warns them. Verse 9, here's a big one. What was Paul able to do? He says, whatever you've seen me do, do. That's an incredible one. It's very difficult, you know, as parents, when it's not always easy. We cringe sometimes when we tell our children, or we want our children to do like we do, because we think, oh boy, are we going to be in trouble if they do like we do. But he says, be an example. It means you have the ability to live a life that is worth following. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, 10:31, beginning of chapter 11. Follow me as I follow Christ. In verse 10, he's thankful for others. It wasn't himself, you know, and this is where you see the man is much bigger than his local congregation. He's thankful for others. But I rejoice that you have flourished again. That you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. He rejoices for other people. More, as you can find in 2 Corinthians, Paul labored hard. He had to work while he was preaching. Says he didn't have to do that according to God, but he did. He worked hard. He labored with his hands. He received stripes above measure. He says he spent time in prison. He constantly faced death. 5 times he received 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned and left for dead. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the open sea. He faced dangers and journeys often. He faced robbers, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils from false brothers. He went about his life with weariness and sleeplessness. He was often hungry and thirsty. He was often in cold and nakedness. He faced trials. You know, here's the point. You know, sometimes we think, God has got to take care of me. God has got to take care of me. After all, I'm doing God's work. I shouldn't have these problems. The pastor or an elder or even any member of the congregation might think, well, I'm grateful to the Lord. I'm going every Sunday. How come my child often gets sick Saturday night? Why doesn't God fix that so I'm able to go to church? We think that we will not have any troubles. Look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, who was closest to God? And Paul says, I've been beaten, I've been humiliated, stoned and left for dead, falsely accused, robbed. You know, if a Christian gets robbed, we tend to have this feeling like, what was he doing wrong? Well, Paul was doing God's work. He was going on missionary journeys, and he was probably robbed. He was probably robbed of his parchment, his scrolls. What if you were robbed of your Bible? You must think, oh, I must be doing something terribly wrong. That's naturally the tendency we have. But Jesus answered that question. Remember when he said the tower of Siloam fell upon killed 18 people? They were there worshiping, you know. And some people said, oh, those people must really be bad. And Jesus said, you think you're better than they were? No. We have this false sense of that as Christians we're never going to experience these things. But it's through these things that we must continue to do God's work. Paul was able to do all kinds of things. So when you think you can't raise your children right, when you think your church will never get planted, when you think, oh, our attendance is never going to really increase, you can never be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, that you can't make an impact socially or politically, when you think you can't get through to your co-workers, when you think you can't change your husband, you can't change your wife, remember the words of Paul. You are able to do. You can do. Even in the most trying of circumstances, even while the circumstances around you are difficult, you are able to do. How are you able to do? Second point. I can do all things through Christ. So this is not just some moralistic message that say, come on, try your best. I saw in Ottawa this past week, Dr. Phil was there, and there were, I think, 5,000 people who went to hear him to be motivated. And he puts all of this psycho babble in people's head. Come on, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Kind of use some mechanical means of making people take care of their responsibilities. But that's not going to work. You are able to do only through Christ. Paul did what he did through Christ. For Paul, over most men, knew of his weaknesses and he spoke of them. He naturally was unable to do anything of worth. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do are the things I do. This is the same Paul who says, I can do all things, but notice the qualifying here, through Christ. He said everything he did was counted as dung. And Paul is very graphic. He wants to get the point across. What he did was done. He said he was the chief of what? Sinners. He acknowledged that he needed help and he knew that he could have only survived through Christ. Paul had a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. It was only through Christ. This phrase, through Christ, means that Paul worked through the power and authority that Christ gave him. Not his own. He didn't take on a job that was not given to him. The jobs that were given to him, he depended upon the help of Christ. How does Christ help him? Through His Word, through His Spirit. That's why we read so much of the Bible. That's why the preacher, you have to come every week. You don't say, well, I'm a Christian, everything's fixed. You have to be there to hear God's Word. That's how you are equipped. Christ strengthened or pours strength into man to do His work. So strength comes first through salvation, and then through the proper and the daily equipping of the Christian through the Word and the Spirit. And in all his troubles, Christ was making him able to handle them and to thrive through them. As you can see, Paul didn't hide in safe mode. He was going full steam ahead in spite of the attack. The result, being equipped, Paul could not abdicate his responsibility. This is very important. Paul often uses what we call paternal language or fatherly language or sometimes maternal language. Paul speaks about laboring in birth for Christians. Those who are mothers understand that. Fathers think they understand, but they really don't. When you're laboring in birth for your child, he says, that's how I labored for you. He didn't run away from his responsibilities. He worked. He persevered. He put up with the pains. Now, we were complaining about how long the flight was to Calgary. And it was less than 4 hours. And we were complaining that they only gave us pretzels and juice on the flight. They didn't give us any lunch. You realize what Paul, their travels, how long that was? We complain about that. He was spent 6 months going to some place. They didn't have air-conditioned rooms on those ships. They didn't have rooms on those ships. You found a place where you could lay down when it was night. You covered up the best you could and you survived. He did that. Now Paul wants his readers to know who was the source of his help. So he points them to Christ. His help was in Christ. His courage, his dedication to the task, his patience with their sin, his patience with their weakness was all from Christ. He did not want the Philippians to think he was boasting, for he wasn't. Now let's apply this before we conclude. Marriage are much the same way. In marriage you will have troubles. Maybe with your church, your family, your friends, and even with each other. But you are enabled, strengthened by Christ to handle the troubles in your family. He promises that he will pour his strength, and that's really what it is, to be strengthened in Christ. The word that Paul used is just to pour things into you. So you are filled with Christ. Raising children is the same. Working in the church is the same. You will have troubles. There's no marriage that's not going to have trouble. There's no raising of children where you're not going to have challenges. You know, people like to talk about those 12-step programs to raising happy children. I'm about 400 and something, and I haven't reached the end of my numbers yet. It's difficult. But Paul reminds you, if you're doing it through Christ, might be hard, might be long, require a lot of work, but you will be able to do it if you're doing it through Christ. You cannot run away from the responsibilities. You cannot say, oh, this is too hard. Oh, planting church is too hard. I'd like to be part of a church where at least 150 people. I'd like to meet some other people. One of the trials of small churches, especially for young people. Where do I meet young people? Or people looking for children, for friends for their children. There's no one here we'd like to have some children for our children. Or people at the age of our own so they can have some friends. That's, you cannot abdicate the true responsibility for small things. If you've been called to be a part of this work, you must persevere. God will take care of the other things. God will always do what is best for you. More, you must do your work through Christ alone. If you try in your own strength, you will fail. You will suffer defeat. Remember how Joshua and his men first tried to fight Ai. If you read that story in Joshua, the men said, "Ah, send 3,000 people up there, no problem." They went there and they didn't ask God. They didn't prepare for the battle. Just take 3,000 men up there. Suddenly they found out, oops. Their men were running and coming back, and some of them were killed. So when they went to God, and they made themselves right with God, that they went up. And they completely destroyed the people of Ai. They were going in their own strength. It was of no use. They had to go through Christ. The promise of Christ is real. When He says He will strengthen you, when He says He will keep you. This is not the take two aspirins and call me in the morning. You know, when you do that, your headache comes back. What are you going to do then? This is real. We can count upon the promises of Christ. Finally, learn this. In verse 14, Paul says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress." What did the Philippians do? They shared. What did they share? In this case, it was money. Paul had troubles. Paul needed help. They sent money to him. Something in which they were lacking. They were poor, yet they give sacrificially to this cause. Now, I'm not here to preach about money. I'm here to preach that you must give what is needed. It may be time. It may be inconvenient. You have to give up some of your comforts. But for the cause of Christ, the cause of His church, you must do your part. And Paul was encouraging them in this. They shared when Paul was in distress. He says, what is true friend? Not the one who is there in fair weather and everything's okay, but the one who's there when things are rough. Working together with all the churches. Working together with all the Christians. Working well together with your pastor. When someone needs help, that you are there for them. How are you going to influence your community? How are you going to influence your neighbor? Your neighbor has trouble, you close your door. Pretend you're not there, you switch off your lights. You're not home. Well, you can't be an influence that way. It's when the help is needed. If you're going to build Christ's church, if you're going to be a light, you're going to have to be prepared when things are bad. See, Paul was doing his part, but he was working together with others too. Paul did not want to go to the extreme of saying that Jesus provided without emphasizing that Jesus had used the Philippians to provide also. All right, let's conclude. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And brothers and sisters, Paul faced a lot of the most incredible hardships of body and soul. And through it all, he endured. How could he endure? Because he knew he was Christ's child. The Lord had saved him. The Lord had strengthened him. He knew the promises of God. He rested upon them night and day. And he knew his responsibilities. How is he going to influence the world? How is he going to be able to do all things? How is he going to be an influence in his family, in his church, in his neighborhood? He had to know Christ. He had to draw his strength from Christ. And this is what God wants you to know today. You might face troubles in the years ahead. You might face diseases, depression, disputes, death. And you will only be able to make it through these difficulties through the strength that Christ gives to you. How does that strength come? Through His Word and His Spirit. God wants you even now to start to give up. Give up? Yes, give up on yourselves. Your good works or your strong personality will not make you successful. You will need to come back to this verse over and over again and say, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why are you able to do this? Because you have been bought with the blood of the Lamb of God. You are His. He has a covenant with you. You can come boldly to Him and ask for help to face your challenges. Now, maybe there's someone who's reflecting on his own life now, and you're thinking of the big burdens and troubles with which you are presently faced. You will no doubt wish to make your life a success. Your marriage, your church life, relationship with your children. I'm not going to give you some kind of false assurance to say everything will be okay. You know, people do that. You ever go to a funeral of a non-Christian? Oh, it's all going to be okay. The person's not a Christian. They have no hope. It's not going to be all okay. And I can't say that for you. I can plead with you to come to Christ. He says, whoever is willing, let him come. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You don't have to carry your burdens. You don't. In fact, you can take the strength that Christ gives you to face your burdens, to carry your burdens on your back, to bear your responsibilities to the Church of Jesus Christ. Practically, you can face the world. The old saying goes, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. They can't sink the ship. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reminder of the strength that Christ gives us. Help us to not try by our own strength, but to use that strength that comes from the Word and Spirit to face the challenges of our lives. For too often we think that it is by our own strength, and we try desperately without the directions of Your Word. No wonder we get so frustrated and depressed and angry, because we're trying by our own strength. Wake us up from that, Father, that foolishness, and help us to fall before Jesus Christ and say, I need Your strength again. Refresh in me that work, that desire to work, that I might face the challenges of my life, whatever they may be. Lord, use these words to speak to the hearts of Your saints. And Lord, if someone here is not a Christian, remind them, Father, that all the things they do in this life will come to nothing unless they do it through Jesus Christ. And that they may call upon You today for help. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.